Well, hello. Look at those beautiful faces sitting in front of me. That is incredible. I tell you, it's a little weird after 2 months of, you know, kind of speaking into a camera to actually see human beings. So praise the Lord, y'all are here today. Amen. I'm so glad. It's awesome. You guys look great. You look great. You sound great. You know, a lot of things have been kind of weird about this COVID-19 life, if you think about it. I mean, not just the, you know, the quarantine thing and, you know, not being able to worship, you know, here on campus and stuff like that, but just the mindset, you know, that's kind of developing, and, you know, we kind of think all kinds of different stuff. And it's interesting over the course of going through this together that we see this, you know, just really plain and simple that crisis tends to kind of bring out the best in people and also, you know, sometimes the worst in people. Would you agree with that? You know, sometimes crisis will bring people together, and then sometimes it also divides people. And I got to tell you, it's been pretty cool just kind of seeing some of the amazing things that God has been doing in our community. I've seen Hernando County, you know, getting a lot of props and, you know, and things about how they've been handling this. And around here at CCW, we've seen some pretty cool things happen. People making masks and getting baptized. We've had devotions online. The things that have happened here on campus, we've literally, because of this crisis, have developed an online streaming service now. We've got cameras in the back. Let's hear for our camera people back here. Man, I'm down in the Bat Cave, which is what we call it. It's not really Batman lives down there. But there's some magic going on down there with David and Tim today. I mean, just some pulling together. All these chairs, they didn't just move themselves. The gym is set up over in Building B. In fact, right upstairs around the tables. Let's say hey to everybody up in Building B. Love you guys. Thanks for being up there and being simulcast. Online, I mean, no matter where you're watching today, we're here to worship together, and it's been just cool seeing all this kind of develop, really good stuff. We've also seen where, you know, where it's kind of created some tension along the way, you know, like decisions that need to be made and things that need to happen, and where do we go from here? How exactly do we do life together here, now, like right now? And I'm kind of, it's interesting, but months and months ago, we got together, we were planning a sermon series for the year, and decided that we were going to do a book of the Bible, and actually a chapter in the Bible, and we're going to focus on living together in Christ. This was way before coronavirus even started. We said, well, let's do how do we live together in Christ and become the church that God wants us to be? How do we get unstuck? You might remember that from our first message, unstuck and move forward from where we are now to where God would have us to be in the future. So we started planning this out, and we came across, which is perhaps one of my favorite chapters in the scriptures. It's in the book of Romans. All right, so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and look at the book of Romans. We have been in this chapter for the last 3 weeks. And as you're going to see, it just kind of helps us understand how we do life together. We've gone through 14 verses together. We've talked about some really cool stuff, how to get unstuck. Unstuck when it comes to surrendering to God and giving him our hearts and our minds and our bodies from verses 12, 1 and 2. You might remember that. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even tell you what chapter it was yet, did I? You guys know? You tracking? Oh, it's right there. All right. Chapter 12. All right. That's our series. Romans chapter 12. Go ahead and turn there. Turn there. Romans chapter 12. Unstuck. Man, unstuck when it comes to surrendering to God. Unstuck when it comes to serving. I mean, that'll get you unstuck real quick. You start serving. Phil talked about that last week. Chris talked about how we get unstuck when we start to love one another, honor one another. All of this is in Romans chapter 12 about living for Jesus together. It's really incredible. You know, over the last couple of weeks, especially, we've seen this expression, we're in this together, this slogan, we're in this together, in this together. You guys, you've seen that? Just about the time I got tired of hearing it, I thought, no, that's pretty cool. Like, we are in this together. In fact, not only are we in this together, and it's not just an idea that the world came up with, but this is a biblical idea. This is something that God has been teaching his people since the very beginning, that we are in this together. So how do we do life like that together? How do we do it? And I got to tell you, as we look through Romans 12, this has just been a paramount passage for me personally, and I know for some of us in this room as well, that Romans chapter 12 helps us to live in this together in some very special ways. You want deeper relationships with your friends? Better relationships with your friends? Live Romans 12. You want a stronger marriage? Live Romans 12. You want to become the church that God created us to be and make an impact in our community and around the world? Romans 12. I tell you, if you're having trouble at work, maybe you're not able to keep a job, I'm going to tell you, Romans chapter 12 will help you keep a job. You'll be the best employee on your team by living Romans chapter 12. Parents, kids, but it's just amazing stuff. It helps us to learn how to live together in Christ, and I'm excited about that. So we're going to pick up in verse 15 today, all right, verse 15 of Romans 12, and we're going to read through verse 18. I'm going to do something a little bit different with you, okay, if I could. So we haven't been together in a while in this room, so let's go ahead and stand together, and if we would, let's read God's word together from the New International Version. It'll be on the screens, these verses, Romans 12, verses 15 through 18. On three, one, two, three, here we go. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace. Awesome. Amen. You can be seated. Romans 12, 15 through 18. Just four verses, but are they packed or what? I mean, look at what's there. We're going to learn in just a couple minutes about living with empathy and living in harmony and living rightly and living peacefully. So let's just zoom in right now on verse 15. Verse 15, living in empathy together. Empathy. Look what it says here. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Empathy. What that simply means is walking in someone else's shoes, okay? Now, I brought a pair of shoes with me today, all right? These are not my shoes. If you ever see me walking in these shoes, it's because, no, these are actually my wife's shoes. They're very beautiful golden shoes, but okay, it's an expression, to walk in someone else's shoes. You've heard that before. But here's the thing, guys, whoops, husbands. They got a fancy little zipper on the back if you're not careful to slip out of your hands. How do you girls wear these? All right, anyways, husbands, look. Sometimes what it takes to have a stronger marriage, start thinking and feeling the emotions of your wife. Put yourself in her shoes. See her side of the story. You might have to step back and empathize. We'll talk about that a little bit. Walk in each other's shoes. Maybe it's not in your house. Maybe it's in the neighborhood. Maybe it's somebody that you know. But to put yourself in their position, to feel what they feel, to literally understand the emotions of someone else, that is a key to life. We start nailing that down, and everything starts to change because God changes everything. And he starts in our own hearts, and we begin to invest and understand other people the way God does. It's incredible. That's why he says here, literally, rejoice with the rejoicing ones, weep with the weeping ones. So this word mourn means to shed tears loudly, to lament. Now, I don't know if you've ever had days like that. I suppose maybe over the past couple weeks, you know somebody who has. Today is Memorial Day. We've said it already, but happy Memorial Day. You always say happy Memorial Day, and we're going to go from here. We're going to celebrate and do that kind of stuff. Memorial Day is a good day to celebrate the freedom that we have and those who paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we could enjoy this freedom and enjoy the peace that we have in our country. So we do celebrate, but it does not come without mourning, and it shouldn't. We remember that it costs people's lives to be able to sit here today and to be able to celebrate, to rejoice with those who rejoice. But we also remember and mourn with those who mourn. We weep with thanksgiving. It's very humbling to think someone gave their life so that, think about it. We mourn, we weep with those who have lost family members. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, who've gone on before us, who paid that price for us. We mourn with those who mourn. We weep with those who weep. We think about not only our military, but today's a good day to think about our first responders. There are men and women in our community who have died in the line of duty to keep us safe. And we need to thank God for that. And we need to remember them. Firemen, policemen, deputies. People literally giving their lives. So we rejoice, but we also mourn with those who mourn. Maybe you know somebody. Maybe it's a family member or a friend. Maybe it's a fellow coworker. Just think about those lives and know that we weep together. We hurt together. You know, over the last couple months, the coronavirus has taken its toll, hasn't it? I mean, not just here, but around the world, and especially in our country, we weep with those who weep. People have lost loved ones as a result of this disease. And yes, we come together today, and we celebrate, and we should. We're so glad to be together today and to worship together. And some of you, you understand, we've come together to celebrate, but we've also come together today to heal. Our country, 6 million people unemployed. Some of you right now are wondering where your next paycheck's going to come from. We hurt with you. Some of you had to put your business aside. You've had to lay off employees. Maybe you're one of those. We mourn together, we weep together. It's come with a cost. It's empathy. It's understanding that together, we're in this together, and together we hurt together. Together we rejoice together. Some of you have lost milestones in life. It's crazy to think, but weddings have been put off. We've lost people in our church. They've passed away and gone to heaven, and their families haven't even been able to do a funeral for them because of the restrictions. We mourn together. Graduations, birthday parties, all these. I mean, not to be a downer, but let's just, this is what God has called us to be together as a family. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep. We hurt together as family. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God says, in the body of Christ, its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with us. And if one part is honored, then every part rejoices with it. Rejoicing and weeping together. So just for a moment today, if you would, if maybe you've thought of someone, maybe somebody that's died in the line of duty, or military, or maybe a friend of a friend, or maybe there's somebody in our community that you know has been lost, or maybe it's something that there's just something you need to remember right now. I'm gonna take a moment just to silence. Okay? And I'm gonna do what the Bible says. We do rejoice, but we also mourn. So let's take a minute, just a moment of silence, to remember together. Maybe you see their face, or and give thanks to God, and to remember. This idea of empathy, it mirrors God's relationship with us. I mean, Jesus, God's Son, God in the flesh, who came from heaven to earth to live a perfect life before our eyes and died on a cross for our sins and rose from the grave and is at the right hand of God. He came to empathize with us, to walk in our shoes. So like Jesus, his people, together we can share the blessings that we have together. We share the burdens that we have together. And as a church family, yes, we are going to celebrate together. We have so much to celebrate together. I mean, baptisms and all this kind of stuff. And we rejoice and we celebrate, but we also cry together. Yeah, I'm reminded of a story that I heard this week of a little boy who lived next door to an old man who just lost his wife. She'd gone on to heaven, and the old man is hurting, and we'd come out on his front porch every day, and he would just look out into the sky and be crying, just crying, missing her. And one day when the boy was outside playing, he looked over the fence and he saw the old man crying on it, and he decided he was going to do something about it. So he walked over to the fence and he looked around, and he walked around the fence and across the yard and up onto the front porch where he sat in the empty rocking chair where this man's wife used to sit. And minutes became minutes, and then hours became, you know, just another hour. And then finally it started to get dark, and the little boy's mom had been looking out the window and decided, hey, it's time for him to come home, time for dinner. Sun's going down. So she called her son home. As he came into the house, mom says, hey, I saw you were next door, our neighbor, just, you know, sitting there. What have you been talking about all this time? Little boy said, oh, nothing. I was just helping him cry. Empathy. It's not just thinking about it, but as Paul said earlier in Romans chapter 12, to pray and to keep praying and then to stop and to go and to feel what others are feeling. And then, next level, care. Be present. Care for one another. So I got to ask you, is there anybody that you can help cry today? Is there anybody you can cry with or cry for or rejoice? Who can you celebrate with? You know, it's been an amazing thing watching these drive-by parties and seeing people celebrate together, because this has really been a thing. But who can you rejoice with? You know, at CCW, I got to tell you, as Scott said earlier, this is a place we come alongside each other, and small groups is a place to do that. I don't know where I'd be without my small group. I tell you, man, we mourn together, we cry together, we laugh together, go through life together. Join a small group. In fact, there's small groups that exist right here that will help you go through those times, like Cornerstone Ministry and Ann Topping, and how we come alongside of people who are hurting and helping them in counseling or our grief share for those who have lost loved ones, divorce care, celebrate recovery, because we empathize. We want to come alongside and go through these things together, because we are in this together, to rejoice together, to weep together, and live in empathy in Christ together. The next verse, verse 16, not just empathy, but to live in harmony with one another, to live in harmony with one another. Now, it's been cool listening to y'all singing here, okay? Now, last week, you're probably singing in your living room, right? All right, when I sing in my living room, what I don't like about worshiping at home is that, and you guys who are watching online can relate to this, there's one guy in your room, and it's Joe, who sings louder than everybody else and has no harmony at all right? Don't point to that person, all right, if that's you. No harmony at all. In fact, it's kind of, so I like being in a room with a bunch of people so I can sing and not hear myself, all right? Harmony, and y'all sound amazing. Let's hear it for our band, too, man. You guys are something else, putting that together. Harmony. Now, when it's time for me to sing, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to sing, somebody comes and grabs a microphone out of my hand, because I'm awful. I don't harmonize. Harmony, when we think of harmony, we think of a musical term, don't we? A musical term. But here in this verse, it's not talking about music. It's talking about thinking together as one mind. In fact, the actual word harmony means to think the same thing or as towards the same mind towards each other. Harmony. It's a word for unity. Unity. The unity like Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17. Unity. Together as one. Acts chapter 4 talks about the early church. The early church was known to be one in heart and one in mind. Earlier in Romans 12, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. He calls the church one. One body with many members, all belonging to one another. Harmony. He says we love one another. We honor one another. You flip your chapter, flip over to the next book in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and God says through Paul, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all, listen to these harmony words, that you all agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Unity, harmony. How do we do that? How do we live in harmony with each other, with one mind? Well, he gives us some ideas right there in verse 16, right here. First thing he says, do not be proud. Don't be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. So here's the thing. Harmony takes humility. Harmony takes humility. I hesitate to say this, but if I decide I was going to sing louder than everybody else all the time, people would stop sitting around me, okay? I got to humble myself. And all right, but look, Paul, don't be proud. Don't be proud thinking you're better than other people. In fact, earlier in Romans 12, again, Paul said not to think of ourselves more highly than we should. Be willing to associate. Be willing to associate with people means to be led along or carried away with somebody. To be humble enough to allow myself, to allow ourselves to be carried into the situations of other people in our lives, even if they're in low position. What that means is there's people here, I'm sure, there's people in our community that have been knocked down by life. Knocked down. Look, we are not to look at those people as problems to be solved, but people to be loved. People are not problems to be solved. They're people, real people with needs that love, harmony. Associate with people of lower, of other position. That means no division, no distinction, no discrimination. And that's the beauty of Christianity. That's the beauty of this church, of Christ's church. It doesn't matter how popular you are. It doesn't matter if you're rich or if you're poor or if you're a man or a woman or if you're young or if you're old or if you're sick or healthy or if you wear a mask or don't wear a mask. Look, we are in this together. No one is better than anybody else. We are to live in harmony with one another, no matter what your heritage is or your race is, no matter what your family background or place in life where you came from today. We will associate with each other. We will respect each other because we are in this together. Together as the body of Christ. God says, do not be conceited. Do not be conceited. This means do not have a habit of being haughty. You've heard that expression, haughty toddy. I don't know, maybe that's an old thing, but don't think that you're wise in your own mind, like you know everything. It's like when you're a kid and in elementary school, I'd get picked on because I was fat, and I'd come home and I'd be like, mom, I'd be all upset, and mom would say, they're just conceited. They're just conceited. I'd be like, man, that's a $100 word. What in the world does that mean? She'd say, hey, they just think they're better than you. And they're not. And then mom would say these immortal mom words, just ignore them. Don't be conceited. I think we're better than other people. And again, all we need to do is look at the life of Jesus himself in the flesh, the Son of God. Jesus could have come to earth and only hung out with the high and mighty. But he did life, and he loved the lowly. Jesus loved everybody. And as Christ followers, we can think and talk and act like Jesus together. So the question, how's your harmony? How are you doing when it comes to unity, to living together in harmony with one another? Are there any issues? Maybe somebody got a problem with? Maybe some disunity you need to deal with? Bring it to God and ask him, what should we do about it? Anyone that you tend to and maybe you're thinking of in your mind right now, man, and I know it's hard, just do a gut check and think, if I really got honest with myself, I do think I'm better than this people group or this person. You need to repent of that. Don't be conceited. We are all equal at the foot of the cross, y'all. Harmony. Verse 17, Paul goes on, he says, do not repay evil for evil. Do not repay evil with evil. I'm sorry. We're going to talk about this next week. Josh has got a great message planned for this topic, so we're not going to talk about that. What we're going to do is skip to the second part of this verse together, verse 17. So he says, do not repay evil with evil, but then he says this, be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everybody. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everybody. Live rightly. You've got empathy, harmony, live rightly. So let me see your right arm. All right, let me see him. You got muscles? All right, let me see your right arm. Come on, hold him up. Come on, come on. Even you, Nathan, come on. I know, your shoulder's bad. My bad. All right, hold him up. All right, I want to say this. Live rightly. All right, live rightly. Do what's right. Come on, do what's right. Let me hear you. Do what's right. Do what's right. All right, I feel like marching or something. No, look. Do what's right. Now, I know it comes time, it's like, hey, look, most of us know the difference between right and wrong, okay? This verse is telling us, choose to do the right thing. And I know this is not, the idea here is not to make everybody happy. In fact, doing the right thing might make us a target. But God says to be careful, to take thought beforehand how we're going to react in different situations. And when it comes time to react, when it comes time to respond, to do the right thing consistently. The decision we make. And the word right here, I love this, the word right here means beautiful, precious. So we are to do what is beautiful, precious in the eyes of everyone. Do what's beautiful and precious in the eyes of God. You know, this verse has really mattered so much, especially over the past couple of months, the past couple of weeks, as we've made decisions, our leaders, our elders, our staff, and how to handle what's going on here, and whether we're going to worship publicly on campus or not, and how we're going to proceed with our online services, all of these discussions. And I'll tell you that the discussions have been intense, been very careful, prayerful. You know, what are we going to do with these discussions, the prayers, long days of asking questions, trying to think very carefully, what is the right thing to do in everybody's eyes? What is right? And look, we know not everybody's happy. We know not everybody's happy with the decisions that are made, but I promise you, the elders and staff have been together. We've been very, very careful. Very careful to consider safety. Very prayerful to consider our health. Very careful in trying to do what's right in the eyes of our community. Weighing every pro and con. Careful to do what's right in everybody's eyes. And I can tell you, I believe the decisions that we've made have been made with empathy. They've been made with harmony. And they've been made rightly. And I also have to say thank you. I want to thank you, family, because you have responded rightly. You know that it's always right to do what's right. And you have responded with grace. You've rolled with the punches. You've not gone online and started, you know, bashing. I mean, you have been there right along, going through this together. So thank you. Thank you for responding the right way with your words, with your actions. Thank you. You truly, it's just been special to watch, to see how you turn negative situations into positive situations by doing what is right. 1 Peter 3 says, even if you should suffer for doing what's right, you're blessed. James says, if you keep the royal law found in Scripture, which is love your neighbor as yourself, that's right. That's doing right. James 4 says, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, it's sin. Do the right thing. So how do we know what's right? How do we know how to do the right thing? That's not going to go too deep here, but can I point you to the Bible today? Look, God's word will tell us the right thing to do. So get into the Word of God. God will tell us, what does God say to do in His Word? That's going to be helpful. I also want you to think about just surrounding yourself with smart people, people with experience, people who can kind of help you make the right decision. People. So how can you prepare? I got to ask myself this question. How can I prepare today to do the right thing tomorrow when the time comes? We pray about it. We pray. We study. Think, recruit some people around you who will help you plan to do the right thing, to do rightly, even in everybody's eyes. And the last thing Paul says here is to live peacefully. Live peacefully. Verse 18 says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I hope you understand, this is all together talk. Like, we're all in this together. He said, you know, do what's right in the eyes of everybody. Now he's saying, live at peace with everyone. These are together, this is together talk. So the key is to do everything you can do to live in peace or live with peace. Now, notice what God says here. If it is possible, and as far as it depends on you. And this literally means as far as what proceeds from you. See, no matter what comes at you, in life, what matters more is what comes out of you. We're going to have all kinds of things coming at us. What matters is what comes out of us, and what comes out of us needs to be peace. Peace. Do what we can to be peacemakers. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. And in Galatians 1, Paul says, to be God-pleasers, okay, not to be man-pleasers. So there's a difference between being man-pleasers and being peacemakers. Okay, please God first and be peacemakers to all men. I like to say it this way, and again, this isn't a perfect saying, but maybe you can use it. Don't give people a reason not to like you. Don't give people a reason not to like you. So easy for you to say, Joe, everybody likes you. Look, that's that's not true. Look, you give people a reason to like you. Look, don't give people a reason not to like you. And if they don't like you, let it be their problem. Let it be their problem. Now, I know it's not a perfect rule, but I think it's biblical, and it's kind of worked for me through life. And the reason it works is because it causes me and it causes you, and I know there's so many of you out here that live this way, it causes you to think before you speak. It causes you to consider and to think about peace before you make that post on Facebook. You know, with all the division and, you know, politically charged things out there and all, I mean, we guys, look, peace, peacemakers. It causes us to think. I like to ask this question. When I walk into a room, do I bring peace with me? When you walk into a room, do you bring peace with you? As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. See, believe it or not, there were even some concerns about getting together this weekend. I mean, all the differing opinions about COVID-19 and, you know, how people are going to react as we get along. I mean, can we get along? All kinds of opinions out there. I mean, are we going to be able to gather together and be at peace with one another? Are we going to be able to get along with each other? Will our people, the people of God, have empathy for one another, be in harmony with one another? Can we gather peacefully? And the answer is yes. Yes, we can. Yes, we will. Yes, we are. And why? Because the God of peace is in his people. The God of peace is here. And the fact is, we are in this together, and we understand that. And we're not just here, we're not here for our glory, we're here for his glory. And we put ourselves aside and we lift him up, and we become the people of peace that we need to be. Look, here we are, and God is doing it. We're here together. I love what he says through Paul in 2 Corinthians 13. Listen to these words. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Again, rejoice. I love that. Strive for full restoration. Restoration, encourage one another, these harmony words, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love, the God of peace, will be with you. God is with us. God is with us, and God is going to always do his part, which leaves us to do our part. Are we doing our part when it comes to being and living at peace? Are you doing your part? Are we doing our part to live at peace with people, to resolve that conflict? Maybe you've got something going on right now that's just kind of like, man, I don't have any peace there. Well, are we willing to do our part and to resolve that conflict, or to forgive like we've been forgiven, or to let go of bitterness? Again, this is stuff we use in everyday life, and it just works. It's good to pray for people, to pray for everyone, including our enemies, to live peacefully in the eyes of everyone. Heard another story this week of two brothers who reminded me of my brother and I growing up. We just, you know, when it came to living at peace with each other, Dan and I just didn't understand that. We didn't get along very well. Well, these two brothers been fighting and fighting and fighting. They just did not get along very well. And finally, their mom had enough of it and said, look, I'm taking you to the youth pastor and you're going to figure this out. So they brought these two brothers to the youth pastor. And they sat down in a chair, they started working things out, having a conversation. It wasn't easy at first, but finally, over time, they were able to resolve some things. And then they finally were able to shake hands, give each other a hug, and decide to leave at peace with one another. And the youth pastor said, hey, look, before you leave, I want you to do something, all right? Spoke to brother number one, I want you to make a wish for your brother. It's going to last him the whole rest of the year. Make one wish for your brother. He said, okay. I wish for him what he wishes for me. The second brother just threw his hands up in the air and said, see there, pastor, he's at it again already, making trouble. Think about it. Hey, look, they're willing to say it, but were they willing to do it? To live at peace with each other? Romans 12, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. Today, I want to encourage you, don't just say it with your mouth, but take action. Not just use your words, but go and to settle up, make peace, restore things, make the phone call, write the letter, go to them. And if you can't go, pray. Pray for them. Make peace with God at least. Make peace with yourself. And either way, give God all the glory and let him take care of it. Just keep serving him and following him. See, we are in this together. Yeah, we are in this together. Verses 15 through 18. And because we're in this together, we will live. We will live rejoicing with those who rejoice, mourning with those who mourn, with living in harmony with one another, not being proud. We will be willing to associate with people, even of low position. We will not be conceited. We will not repay anyone evil for evil. We will live. We will live being careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. We will live, when possible, as far as it depends on us, at peace with everyone. Live Romans 12. You're an amazing family. Y'all are amazing people. I love you. I love doing life together. It's so cool to see what God is doing. And I believe that the church was built. We were built for this time. God knew what he was doing when he brought us together. And he said, you know what? Right here, right now in 2020, whatever happens out there, we come together and we become an influence on the world and we make an impact for Christ everywhere we go. And God is going to change the world through you and through me and through this church as we stand together. We stand together and be the church that God created us to be. I hope you believe that. And I hope that you won't only believe that, but you'll stand together as a people of empathy, a people of harmony, a people who do rightly and live peacefully. It's a great time to be the church. Good times and bad, we are here and we are in this together right now to show the love of Jesus to the world and to make a difference for him. As we make disciples who make disciples, and then those disciple makers, you and I, we become kingdom leaders in the world and make a difference for Christ everywhere that we go. I believe with all my heart that when history looks back on COVID-19, they are going to think and they are going to remember the great work that God did through you during this time. God's people, you and I standing together in Jesus' name, not only here in this place, but in our homes. We walk out our homes, into our neighborhoods, into the stores where we shop, going back in the fall to the schools we go to, into the jobs where we work, all over our country, our neighborhoods, the families, like I said, into stuff. Live Romans 12 together in Christ and not on our own, y'all. You know this. Not on our own and not for our glory, but following Jesus, led by his Holy Spirit for God's glory, and for his glory alone. It's a great day. It's a great day. I know we're going to look back on this day, and just like we're going to praise the Lord. We praise the Lord we're able to be together today. Praise God. So cool. You know, if you want to be a Christ follower, maybe today you've decided, you want to give your life to Christ for one reason. You know, maybe you've been thinking about it. That baptistry is ready to go. We'll celebrate today, man. We're going to rejoice with those who rejoice. You can walk out of here a brand new person in Christ. Or maybe today you've heard something from God's word and you know you need to respond and you want to live what you've heard. We're here to help. That's what this church is here for. So we'll have a few people up front. We'll be able to talk with you and pray with you. But no matter what choice you're making today, I hope that we'll leave this place together, because we know we're in this together. And not just know it, but that we will live it together as we leave and go out into the world to be the people of God. Let's stand together. Let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to sing, I think. We're going to sing a song, When the Fight Calls, all right? So let's stand together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you're awesome, and we love you. God, I thank you that your word comes alive through the power of your Holy Spirit. If we take it seriously and we live it out, maybe even just verse by verse, just take one thing. God, we recognize today and we repent that so many of us know more of your word than we're willing to live. God, I pray that you would change us from the inside out, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, inside out, that we would become the people of God and we would stand together and live your word together, because we know you're going to keep your end of the deal. That your Holy Spirit is going to work powerfully in our lives and through our lives to change lives. So God, we do. We recognize that we are in this together. And God, as we prepare to leave today, as we stand and we sing together, as we wrap our arms around each other, as we even emotionally, we know that we leave this place together, the body of Christ, to do your great work, the great work you have for us. Forgive us when we fail, God. Help us to get back up and keep right on going. For your glory and your glory alone. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for dying for our sins, giving us a reason to live, giving us words to live by, giving us your Spirit to live in us that we might do your work. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.